Swans have ended a 20-year drought. Big mark, knocked down by Stevenson. Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Hello, welcome to episode 12 of the Monday Waffle. My name's Jared Gardner, and here's my co-hosts. Tumbleweeds. That's right, I'm by myself today, running the ship solo, which means I'm going to change things up a little bit. Not too drastically, otherwise, yeah, things might derail badly. What I'm going to do is normally we talk games, stats, who's done well, all those kind of things. We will get there because there's undoubtedly some performances that just have to be discussed. But I'm going to push that to the side for a second, and I want to talk about a few little tidbits that you might find quite interesting. First of all, audience numbers lately. Last week, for the West Perth-East Perth game, we had over 5,000 people attend that. And for the East Frio-South Frio, over 4,000. They're the biggest numbers this season yet. The biggest, like by a good margin too, which is fantastic. And then this week, for the Claremont Oval redevelopment, which has those apartments going up right next to the field, which give you spectacular views, that game drew a crowd of over 3,000. And I've got a little treat for you. I'm going to play this audio and then tell you what it is just after. Thanks to the Waffle Facebook page, that audio was the first kick-to-kick post-match at the Claremont Oval. Here's to hearing a few more of those down the line. And one other small tidbit of information. At the Swans-West Perth game, the media box was apparently completely full. So, Greg Harding, Swan District's coach, invited the West Australian's very own John Townsend to sit in the coach's box for the Swans and get a different perspective on the game. First of all, Greg, well done. That was very nice of you. And what an experience that would have been just to hear what was going on, especially in that last quarter. There are a few little things I thought might be interesting to you to hear about. But coming up in the show, I'm going to be talking to Mark Reddings about the Swans West Perth game and the game that ruined my tipping. And I'm also going to be talking to him about East Fremantle. And they could possibly get their first win this week. I'll also be doing the tips, but Poppy or Tash aren't here, so it's just going to be tips with Jared, no fancy name there. And of course, we're going to review all the games.
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like and follow us on Twitter.
Let's have a look at the games now and the standout performances. And why not start with Claremont's unveiling of its new facilities? Claremont took on East Fremantle down there, both sides coming off losing streaks. Claremont hadn't won since round 3, and now they've registered their first win since then, taking down East Fremantle 14-11-95 to 14-8-92 in what was almost East Fremantle's amazing come-from-behind victory. Both sides weren't at full strength. Claremont were missing players such as Jake Murphy, Jack Bradshaw, Tom Lee. East Frio was missing Jonathan Marsh, George Hampson, Dylan Winton, and it was a day out for Andrew Stephen of East Fremantle. A defender who brought up his 150th game earlier this season has been used forward, and on Saturday it paid off big time. He kicked a career-best 7 goals from 17 possessions, so congratulations to him. Mitch Andrews was a dominant presence in the ruck for Claremont with 60 hitouts. Also for the Tigers, Tom Ledger returned from his stint in the reserves and got 28 possessions, while Jai Bolton also finished with 27. Ryan Lim had 24 and had 2 goals along with his name. For the Sharks, Jaden Schofield provided great drive. He had 35 touches and 9 marks, while Matthew Watson battled hard in the ruck and had 19 disposals with his 23 hitouts. The Tigers kicked 4 successive goals on either side of three-quarter time to get a 29-point lead. But East Fremantle came from behind and kicked 5 of the last 6 goals of the game, which brought them agonisingly close, but just short by 3 points. Moving to the Perth-Subiaco match, and the Lions have continued with their 10th straight win of the season, taking down the Demons 22-18-150 to 11-9-75. Now, the match was much closer than the final result suggests at the start, with the Demons only being down a couple points and taking the lead through several points in that quarter. However, in the second quarter, Subiaco kicked 8 goals to 1 and the game was out of reach from there. A few notable standouts was Clancy Wheeler for Subiaco. He equaled his career high, 5 goals with his 7 marks. Lee Kitchen just does his thing. He got 33 touches, 9 of which were marks and 9 inside 50s. Adam Creeper, the ruckman, he dominated the contest. He had 41 hitouts along with 15 touches, taking control of Perth's Christian Ayres, who managed 21 hitouts and had a goal. So he did a good contribution. He had a good contribution anyway. Clinton Jones for the Demons does his thing consistently. 40 disposals, 7 marks, 8 tackles, 7 inside 50s, and a goal himself. Callum Papertalk had 5 goals to his name. Devin McFarlane had 23 touches. The South Fremantle Peel Thunder game was decided by a singular kick, and that was thanks to young docker Luke Stranatica. The final result was 13-5-83 Peel Thunder to 11-11-77, which means South Fremantle have lost 3 of their past 4 matches. So yeah, Luke Stranatica kicked the winner there. He had 13 hitouts as well to go along with his 9 disposals, so a nice all-round game there. Sean Darcy, the young impressive ruckman for Freo, he had 42 hitouts. 42. He is continuing to dominate in that area, and Ross Lyons should be looking at him for a call-up very soon. Braden Lawler, Matt Tabiner, Benjamin Hancock, and Josh DeLuca all kicked 2 goals. Very even performance from the team there. Ethan Hughes had 22 touches. Griffin Logue stood tall and took some strong marks. Brock Higgins for South Fremantle, he fought manfully with Sean Darcy, finishing with 36 hitouts himself. Hayden Schloyth had 31. He continually finds the ball. Ben Saunders had 3 goals and took, if you haven't seen it, try and find it on the Waffle Facebook page. It is possibly the mark of the century.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti, I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle. Oh, yeah.
Come on. So, joining me now on the Monday Waffle is the man who less than 24 hours ago was calling the very game we're going to talk about right now, Mark Reddings. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good to chat. Pretty good weekend of Waffle footy, really, with 3 games decided by a total of 17 points. Very close, and certainly what the competition needed.
Yeah, it's insane. So what was it like to call the West Perth game? They were up by a point at 3-quarter time and even dropped to be behind during the last quarter sometimes.
Yeah, I have to say the first half was a bit lacklustre. Swans tried to take the tempo out of the game, tried to stop the run of West Perth. Third quarter, a real arm wrestle. Swan District surged back into the contest. They trailed by 19 at the half, but they really gave themselves a chance at 3-quarter time. But at the end of the day, with the midfield led by Van Berlow, Strike, obviously, in his 200th game, was busy in the last, and particularly through the midfield, they had a couple of players to generate some ball. So Keitel and Lowry, between them, kicked 7 goals. So West Perth showing signs after that 46-point loss to East Perth on the WA Day holiday, that they've got the weapons to trouble some of the better sides in the competition. You have to remember, Swan Districts are coming from a low base last year, so their form and their effort to climb up the ladder has been very meritorious, and they have got a pretty good side, which hopefully, from their supporters' point of view, might be able to pinch a spot in the top 5 come September.
You mentioned Tyler Keitel. How important is it in the Waffle, especially, to have such a dominant big man?
Oh, it's critical, particularly when you go inside 50, and there are some clubs that just don't have that target. And Keitel, the previous week, he kicked 4 behinds. He kicked 1-3 the week before that. And yesterday, a little bit nervous, I'm sure, heading into the contest, but he kicked a goal early on the run. And so when he finished with 4 goals next to his name, I'm sure his confidence took a real boost. And also the fact that when West Perth went forward, it wasn't just Lowry as their main target. Keitel, he can play back or forward, but certainly if he can get his kicking boots on, then he's going to be a real asset to West Perth as they push for not only a top 5 finish, but also maybe the double chance in September.
And so what about the rest of this round? You mentioned it was such a small margin separated so many teams. What did you take out of the round?
Well, you have to say that a couple of other classic games in terms of tightness of the competition, with East Fremantle just not quite getting across the line against Claremont. The Tigers unveiling their new home venue. Really impressed with Andrew Stephen. Kicked 7 goals for the Sharks, his best ever haul. And I always like the work of Matthew Jupp in defence. He's just a wholehearted performer and gives his all. Sometimes he gets beaten, but when he doesn't, he has a mighty impact on his side. So a couple of East Fremantle players that were really good. They got their chance this week, by the way, against Perth down at Shark Park. So they'll be hoping to break the duck on that one. But in the other game that was tight, of course, South Fremantle came from a long way back to test Peel, who had a very handy lead to Thunder at half-time. Bulldogs came back and failed by just 6 points. And if you do get the chance to have a look, Ben Saunders taking one of the marks of the year during that contest. He's a a real target for the Bulldogs. He knows how to take a screamer, and he kicks some goals as well. So he's a real attraction at the WAFL level.
I'm quite excited for that East Fremantle-Perth game. I did mention in the last podcast they would never win a game again this season. I've now been threatened. They almost got there. I'm excited, nervous, though, because I'd like to be proven wrong. And then this week, I'm genuinely thinking they have a great chance.
Yeah, we've got them on 7, mate, from 1:30 on Saturday. So looking forward to doing what really is the battle for the wooden spoon between East Fremantle and Perth. And I sit the Sharks in this one, actually. I think their form's been good enough to push Perth, particularly at home. They've got a really young side in still East Fremantle, and it's relied on those young players to provide the energy. But I just get the feeling this might be their moment down at Shark Park this Saturday against the Demons, who've really tailed off in recent times. I think there might be a celebration or two of East Fremantle break the drought. It's been tough times for Rob Wiley and his team, but I think they mightn't be far away from a win.
And one final thing that's just come up with me is with Perth, what have you taken out of Clinton Jones' season? He is just consistently getting it done.
He is. And look, he's always been a ball magnet, and every time he gets out on the field, it's a 30-plus possession game. So nothing unusual about that. I suppose the problem for Perth is, in terms of their key position areas, they struggle. So their midfield gets enough of it, but at times you just have to wonder whether 35 or 40 touches from Clint Jones is going to be enough to generate a score, which obviously he can't kick the goals as well. But there's just a lack of forward firepower for Perth. So despite the fact they get a lot of it midfield, other clubs perhaps at times don't take too much concern at the numbers that Clint Jones and Aidan Troppiano rack up, because they've got ability to hurt them going the other way. So the Demons struggling a bit. Clint Jones, though, always gets some numbers, and I'm sure in the fairest and best of the Butcher Medal, he'll be right up there at the end of the season for Perth.
Well, we're going to have to see what's going to happen at Shark Park at 1:40 on Saturday. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure. Have a great week.
A few extra stats from the West Perth Swan Districts game just to finish things off. Shane Nelson had 40 touches and 7 inside 50s. Adam Faulkner in his 100th game had 33 touches for Swans. Todd Banfield kicked 4 goals and Matthew Rogers kicked 3. And Braden Noble took 10 marks.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page. Facebook.com/Monday Waffle for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
Well, it's that segment that would require Poppy's picks or tips with Tash, but neither are here, so it's just Jared's tipping segment. And I'm not a happy camper, to be honest. Coming off such a high from 4 from 4, I've fallen from grace, and I've only got 2. 50%, it's barely passable. I'll have to improve this week. Poppy, who was with us last week, got the same result. And what's even more annoying is the rest of the team failed to get their tips in on time, which means, through the rules of tipping, if you don't tip in time, you get the away teams, which means everyone else got 3 and makes them look much smarter than Poppy and myself. So let's go through the leaderboard then. Has things changed? Well, on the top, through the top half of the leaderboard, nothing's really changed. Mel is still on top with 37, which is followed by Tash, then Jimmy, then myself, Luke, Hannah, Danny, Sean, and then... Well, because Poppy only got 2, and Mia, because she didn't tip, gets 3, Mia has now leapfrogged Poppy, and she is now last. The person who started this segment is now last on the leaderboard. We didn't think we'd get there, but we have. So, moving on to this week's games. As I said last week, I don't believe East Fremantle will win a game, but I'll happily be proven wrong. And by saying that, I have to go for Perth. Claremont will get over Swan Districts at home. Subiaco will get over East Perth. And I've been told off for not going for West Perth at home, so this week I will. West Perth will get over South Fremantle.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
Having a quick look at the ladder now, Subiaco rightfully on top. They've got 40 points and 147% after only losing once this season. South Fremantle, who've been handing out some serious thrashings, have a much higher percentage with 156, but because they've lost a few more times, they only have 28 points in their second place. Third, fourth and fifth, West Perth, Peel Thunder and Swan Districts. East Perth then follow out, Claremont, Perth and then East Fremantle, who sadly are yet to register a win, but have a good chance this weekend. Just want to go through quickly the locations of each of the games this weekend, as well as the times of kickoff. They'll all be on Saturday, 17th of June. 2:15 will be Claremont and Swan Districts at the Claremont Oval. Seriously, get down there and check out the new facilities if you haven't. Subiaco East Perth will also be at 2:15 at Leaderville Oval, and at 2:15 West Perth and South Fremantle at HBF Arena. East Freo versus Perth will be at 1:40. I just want to stress that, 1:40, and that will be at East Fremantle Oval. That's it for another week of the Monday Waffle. Thank you for sharing your time with us. I'm Jared Gardner, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.